God, you are my God. What a song. I appreciate the message of that song this morning. Appreciate the reminder that that song gives us that we need to diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. God is still here. It may be 2024, but God is still here. God is still working. And God is sovereign. Last Sunday, we talked about the fact that God is still here, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. And we looked at four reasons that Psalm 46 gives us why we don't have to be afraid. First of all, it's because of God's protection. He is our refuge, our stronghold, our present help in every kind of trouble. It's because we're assured of God's presence. It's like a river that runs from the city of God. God is here. He is here in 2024. We can be assured of God's works around us and for us. God is at work. And also, we don't have to fear if we'll let God be God, be still, and know that I am God. Today I want us to think about the fact that, yes, God is still here and He is sovereign and at work. And I want us to go to Psalm 90 this morning to talk together, think together about the fact that God is sovereign. Now, I hope that when we use that word sovereign, it doesn't turn you off. I hope it doesn't sadden you or scare you that we have a sovereign God. When we talk about God being sovereign, we're talking about that we have a God that is in charge, that He is in control. I hope that that doesn't frighten you this morning. I hope that it gives you some assurance. I hope it gives you some peace about the future. I hope it gives you some encouragement that we have a God that is in control and He's in charge. No, it's not some dictator around the world that's in control. It's not Putin. It's not the Ayatollahs in Iran. It's not Biden. It's not Trump. It's not anyone like that. It is God. And even when sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that man is in control, God seems to have a way to always show us who really is in control. I think we're probably, as a nation and as a world, going through that right now. Why are we in such chaos? Why are there so many uncontrollable things going on all around us? I think it's because God is trying to help us to understand that no matter how wonderful we may think mankind is and how much we may think that we've accomplished, we're not really in control. God is. But in Psalm 90, Moses writes this psalm as the children of Israel are in the wilderness. Things are not looking really good for the children of Israel. They've already been sentenced to 40 years and have been told that those who were alive when they rejected the opportunity to go into the promised land would have to die before God was going to lead them there. And so for 40 years, they're looking at this wandering around in the wilderness, waiting for God to finally come and lead them into the wilderness. And here Moses is lamenting before God, pouring his heart out before God about this crisis that the children of Israel are facing. We don't know exactly what the crisis might be. It might be an accumulation of things. It might just be a residue from the fact that they had rejected God's invitation to go into the promised land and to depend upon Him to give it to them. But Moses here is praying. And in this prayer, as we read it, you're going to see that Moses is asserting the fact that God is sovereign. He's asserting the fact that God is in control and He's in charge. He's asserting the fact that God is in authority. And He's in authority over the nation of Israel. One of the things we need to understand about when the Bible tells us that God is sovereign is that the Bible is saying to us that we live under God's authority. We don't like that very much sometimes. We want to make our own decisions. We want to be autonomous. After all, we're Americans and we believe in democracy and we believe in making our own decisions. We're rugged individualists. And we don't like God getting in our way, especially a God that has saying that he's in charge and he's in control. But what we need to understand is that no matter what we try to tell ourselves, no matter what we try to say about God, we need to come to understand that God is not only in charge and in control, but we live under his authority. And his authority will either lift us up, his authority will either empower us to live in triumph and victory, or his power will crush us because we're disobedient. When we talk about God's sovereignty, we're also talking about a God that is always present. God doesn't take any breaks. He just doesn't fiddle around with us a little bit, get tired of us, and go on to something else. He is constantly, always involved in our lives. That's what it means to be sovereign. Notice what Moses prays here, how he pours his heart out to God here in Psalm 90. First he says, Lord, you have been our refuge. Does that sound familiar? The psalm we looked at last week talked about how God is our refuge, very present help in times of trouble, our stronghold. And here Moses is saying it again, helping us understand that God is our refuge. Hope you understand no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you may be facing in your own personal life, in the life of your family, in the life of where you work, no matter what you're facing today, that God is present, he's here, and he can be your refuge if you let him. And here Moses is assuring the people of this, assuring himself of this, as he says in this psalm, in this prayer, Lord, you have been our refuge. Moses looks back over the time that they left Egypt and as they were headed toward the promised land, how God was always there for them, always a refuge for them. In fact, he puts it in these words. Notice how he describes how long God has been a refuge for them. Lord, you have been a refuge, our refuge in every generation. God takes no breaks. He is always our refuge. He says, even before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Moses understood that the only way to survive this world, the only way to survive the experiences and the situations that he was facing is to realize that God is God and we are not. But then, starting in verse 3, he talks about how God is sovereign. Notice how he describes how God helps us to see his sovereignty. He prays, you return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam, for in your sight 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives, they sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows, and by evening it withers and dries up. Now, for a lot of people, reading those words that Moses was praying to God would be very disturbing. We don't like to talk about the end of life. We don't like to talk about death. But here, Moses is saying, look, I recognize I recognize, God, that you are sovereign over my life. You are sovereign over the beginning of my life. You are sovereign over the end of my life. And you are sovereign over everything in between. And folks, if we are ever going to really understand who God is, we have to come to that conclusion. We have to come to that understanding. We have to come to that point where we acknowledge that God is sovereign over all of our lives. He determines when we go back to dust. He looks at our life and he doesn't look at time the same way we do. When he sees 1,000 years, he sees yet but a night. When we see 1,000 years, we think that is a long, long time. But in God's providence, in God's sovereignty, it is just a speck of dust. Talks here about we sleep. Death is sleep. Our lives are like grass. Doesn't last very long. Here the psalmist, here Moses is saying, look, we need to understand that our life is very brief compared to everything else. Here God is a sovereign God. He's a refuge for all generations. He never takes any breaks, but we need to understand that our existence is limited. Our existence is just like the grass that sprouts up and then withers away. It's brief. We need to understand the briefness of our life, and we need to compare and put the briefness of our life up beside the eternity of God and understand that this God who is sovereign, who loves us, wants to share that eternity with us. Even though what we have here on earth is just a speck in God's sight, yet his desire is for us to understand and experience eternity with him. And how did he bring that about? You have to turn over to the gospel and read about the cross of Jesus and the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Turn over a few more pages and read about how he resurrected from the dead so that you and I one day could share in that resurrection. And therefore, we could share in eternity. Our little speck of life could become eternal. God is sovereign over our lives. We need to acknowledge that this morning. Our problems and our situations in our life, the things that we face that we're not too certain of, all come in perspective when we understand that God is sovereign over our life and our life is but a speck, but God offers us eternal life through his Son Jesus. That none of the situations and circumstances, none of the problems we have now can take that away from us. He goes on and says and prays in verse 7, "For we are consumed by your anger. We are terrified by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh." Our lives last 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. You see what the psalmist is praying here? We may read these words this morning and we get a little uncomfortable when we read about God's wrath. Moses is pretty open here about God's wrath and how it's real. God just doesn't overlook our sins. And what complicates matters most for us and most for Moses is that while God doesn't look over our sins, he knows what they are. And we cannot hide our sins from him. And we need to understand that God is a God who brings his wrath upon the sins of man. And Moses is talking about that. He talks about how we are consumed by God's anger. We can't hide our iniquities from him. Our secret sins are open to him. They come to light in his presence. Our life ebbs away. When you first look at this, you think, man, there's just not much hope here. But what we need to understand is, as Moses tells us about this, he's telling about this in the context of the fact that he's already told us who our refuge is. Who is our refuge from God's wrath? Who is our refuge from this coming death? Who is our refuge from what our iniquities can do to us? Where is our refuge in this life that lasts 70 or 80 years and it's a struggle and it's sorrow? And in other words, Moses is saying life is hard. You know why Moses understood life was hard? It's because he was trying to lead a group of people to what God wanted them to do, and they were pretty disobedient. They really wouldn't listen to him much. Moses was always frustrated with the people he was leading. And he understood that life was a struggle. Someone has said that we are mortal, life is hard, God is sovereign. But we can cry out to God. You see, if this is all that we know about God, then we don't have a whole lot of hope. But in the context of what Moses was saying about God being our refuge, we realize that even though we are sinners, and even though we are sinful, and even though there are times when our iniquities overcome us, and we have secret sins that we try to keep from God, and we have all these things that we try to do in our existence with God, yet God is our refuge. And again, to see what kind of refuge he is, we have to turn to the Gospels and turn to the message of the cross and the fact that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for us, to take our sins, to take the wrath that we deserved from God, and God placed it on him. And in return, God took the righteousness of his perfect Son and put it on us. That's our refuge. That's our refuge. It's something we could not do for ourselves. Only God, through his grace and mercy and kindness, could do it for us through his Son. And he did that by sending his Son to the cross. And the wrath that Moses is talking about here that comes from God because of our sin and our iniquity is a wrath that has been satisfied by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we have refuge in God. You see, that's why it's so important that you and I and our friends and everybody we know comes to the place where they have the opportunity to understand what the gospel is and understand the cross and understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ and understand what happens there and what is available for them through Jesus Christ. Because unless they do understand it, unless they do come to the point where they surrender and trust in that, they will live under the wrath of God until they physically die and go to hell forever. So Moses said, God, teach me to number my days. What was he saying? He was saying, God, help me to understand how brief my life is, and help me to know how to make the most of the days you give me. And Father, give me wisdom on how to live that life. I think that's something we need to focus on in 2024. We need to pray the prayer this morning, God, help me, teach me to number my days. Help me to understand how brief they may be. Help me to understand that you are the author and finisher of my life. Help me to understand that what I need to do more than anything else is not only to number my days, but to always open my life up to the wisdom you want to give me to be able to live those days, no matter how many I have, for you. Help me to live those days for the right things in the right way. Then in verses 13 through the end of the chapter, Moses talks about how he's going to respond to this sovereign God. How do you respond to a sovereign God? Here's what Moses said in his prayer, "Lord, how long?" Isn't that a universal question for all of us? How long do I have? How much time do I have? Does that worry me, or does it motivate me to make the most of the time that God gives me? But Moses says, "Lord, how long?" And here's what he says to that sovereign God. He says, Turn and have compassion on your servants." He's saying, "God, I don't know how long I have. I don't know how the end is going to be. I don't know how I'm going to handle all the situations I have in my life, but I know that you're my refuge. Oh God, help me to experience your compassion. Help me to understand that you feel what I feel, that you are where I am, that you're not surprised by where I'm going and what's happening in my life. Turn and have compassion on your servants." And then he says in verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love." Moses is saying, look, above everything else, forever how long I have under the sovereignty that you have over my life, I just want to make sure that my satisfaction in life is from you. You satisfy me. Football can't satisfy me. Golf can't satisfy me. Money can't satisfy me. Power can't satisfy me. None of those things can satisfy us because we want more and more. Only God can truly give us the satisfaction that sustains us for eternity, because he is our refuge from generation to generation and from eternity to eternity. And he satisfies us. What does he satisfy us with? Does he satisfy us with bigger homes and more money? Does he satisfy us with more friends, better cars, a lower golf score, a bigger buck? That's a deer, right? No. Notice what Moses says. I want to be satisfied by your faithful love. Folks, if you're satisfied by the love of God, you're satisfied. There's nothing else left. You're fully satisfied. And then he talks about how he's going to respond with joy so that we may shout with joy and be glad all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for as many years as we have seen adversity. What is he saying? He's saying, look, I've had a lot of adversity. I've been humbled in a lot of ways. What I'm asking is, just give me the amount of joy that is equal to how you've humbled me. Give me the amount of joy that is equal to my adversity. Don't take the adversity away. That's not what I'm asking. I'm just asking God, as I deal with adversity, as I deal with the humiliation that comes with life sometimes, I just pray that you'll give me a joy that will match it. And God does. Some of the most joyful people I've been around have been people that I look at what's going on in their life and I wonder, how in the world can you be happy with all the things that are going on in your life? And yet, They're happy because God has given them the amount of joy that is equal to their adversity. He has given them the amount of joy that is equal to their humiliation. What did the Hebrew writer say? That for the joy of the cross, for the joy of his humiliation, Christ died for us. For joy. He makes us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, as many days as we've had adversity. Look in verse 16. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Favor. When the sovereign God looks upon you and he says, you know, I'm going to favor you. Not because you deserve it, but it's just because I love you. And I'm not favoring you because you deserve it. I'm favoring you because it will make you deserving at some point by my grace, by my kindness, and by my mercy. And he finishes this prayer with, establish for us the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Here's the partnership between a sovereign God and just a speck of a person that we are. Here's the partnership. The partnership is that he gives us work to do. And the partnership is that we don't do the work under our own power. We let him do the work through us. And so as we surrender ourselves to this God who is sovereign over our lives and sovereign over everything that's going on in our lives, and we as little specks allow him to work through us, he accomplishes what he wants and gives us the great joy of understanding that we have had a part in what God is doing. And really, it wasn't because we were able to do it. It was because God did it through us. He established his work through us. That's the only way our work will ever survive. It's the only way our work will ever accomplish anything is for God to establish it. How long have you been a believer? How many things have you done in service to the Lord? Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's leading music. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's just serving in some practical ways in the church. Do you understand that when you allow God to use you like that, he works through you? And it's not your work. It's just that you're giving God the availability through your life to do his work through you. And the work that is accomplished is established by his hands, not yours. You know why that's so important? It's because that when we look at all that God has allowed us to do, we don't look back and go, oh, wow, wasn't that great? Look what I did. No, we step back and we say, my goodness, see what God did. And I was able to be a part of it. He allowed me to be a part of it. That's what Moses is talking about here. God is here. He is sovereign. And he is at work. Therefore, there are four things we need to do, and I'll leave you with this. We should be quick to number our days, to understand that to understand the brevity of our life, to adopt the right attitude toward that, to value God and who he is and how he works in us. We need to live for things that truly matter. And one day, we will die, and it will happen sooner than you think. But we'll be in the hands and the arms
of a sovereign God. A sovereign God who loves us, cares about us, mercies us, shares his kindness with us, brings us into himself. Another way we need to respond to a sovereign God is we just need to acknowledge his sovereignty. We need to acknowledge what that means. We need to acknowledge that it opens the door for us for wisdom, and it also opens the door and helps us to make the most of the days that God gives us, whether there are a lot of days or a small amount of days as we measure them. Just remember, a short time is like 1,000 years to God, and a long time is just like one night. Also, we must come to the Lord and trust him and join him in where he is. Having a sovereign God who is in charge, who we serve under his authority, and who is always present should encourage us to trust him even that much more and to look for ways where we can join him, to work with him, and allow him to work through us. We need to open our eyes and see him at work. See him at work in nature, in others, in ourselves. We just need to be able to step back and behold the work of a sovereign God who is in charge. And let it amaze us at how God can bring so many things together into a perfect whole. And we must come to this sovereign God and say to him from our hearts, "Here am I. Use me and send me." If God was not good, and if God was not love, and if God was not kind, coming to a sovereign God would be frightening. But because God is good, and because God is kind, and because God is full of mercy, and because God is full of love, coming to a God like that and saying, "Here I am, use me," is the greatest privilege God can give us. Why are we so afraid of that sometimes? We need to come and say that in a spirit of obedience, in a spirit of saying, "I will follow you wherever you go." Serving a sovereign God helps us to live confidently, helps us to live consistently, helps us to live fearlessly, helps us to live without any regrets. Life may be hard, and we are mortal, but God is here, and he is sovereign, and we can trust him, and he is working. And more than anything else, I hope you understand, in our mortalness and in his sovereignty, and in spite of the hardness of life, we can call on him for help because he is good, kind, merciful, and loving. Let's bow our heads together. If you've never experienced Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never experienced what we've been talking about this morning, I want to invite you to just open your heart up to him today. You can call on him for salvation today. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on him shall be saved." I want to invite you to do that. We're going to sing a song in a moment, and I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come and share that kind of decision with me. As we sing, you're welcome to, or if you'd like to talk to me after the service, I'd be happy to talk to you. But we're going to stand together in a moment. And as we sing, I want to ask you to let God work in your heart and life this morning. Father, thank you for being a sovereign God who loves us, is good to us, is kind to us, and is merciful. And I pray that if there's one here who has never experienced that mercy and kindness, that today they would open their heart and life up to you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.